Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, today we do our prayer about a very dear topic to all of us, the topic of your mother and ours, the Blessed Virgin. You gave her to us from the cross to be our mother. When you were coming to the very end of your life, in all of that pain that you suffered there, St. John records, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And the tradition of the Church has always seen in St. John the whole of humanity, especially the baptized, that John was given Mary as his mother. All of us were given Mary as our mother. And those words that you addressed to John in the singular, we take applied to each one of us personally. Lord, you said to me, you said to every human being, "Behold your mother. I am giving you my mother, this remaining member of my family. I give her to you. I entrust her to you." St. John took her to his own home, looked after her, and Mary looked after John and all the apostles. She began to fulfill that motherly role. Immediately afterwards, she went with the apostles to the upper room and prayed with them there, awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. She did not abandon her children. And Lord, you have given Mary to me, to each one of us, as our mother. Help us to love her, to respond generously to this gift that you have given us, the greatest gift you could give us, your mother. And she is truly a mother in all the senses that earthly women are mothers. A mother brings her child into the world. And Mary gave birth to us, first at the Annunciation, when she conceived you, the head of the mystical body, but together with the head, all the members of that body. She conceived all of us in the Annunciation. She carried you for 9 months in her womb. In a sense, she carried all of us. And then she gave birth to you. But there was a second giving birth, if we like, at Calvary. There, she suffered with you as you were suffering on the cross to redeem us, to give birth to the Church. And because her heart and your heart were one, she suffered all that you were suffering, all of that physical pain as she stood there and watched. If we can imagine a mother watching her son go through that agony of crucifixion. No mother could stand it. The pain would be so great. But Mary was there, enduring that pain in her heart, not in her body, But watching someone else suffer is almost harder than suffering oneself. And then all of that moral pain that you were suffering on the cross, thinking of all the souls that would not be saved in spite of your death, in spite of your redeeming love, many down the ages would not be saved, and you were suffering for them. You were suffering for Judas, who had betrayed you, for Peter and the other disciples apart from John, who were not there beside the cross. You were suffering because you had taken all of our sins on you, and you came before the Father burdened by sin. How much you suffered at Calvary, and Mary was suffering all of that to give birth to the church. And when the soldier finally pierced your side with a lance after your death, and blood and water flowed out, the fathers of the church saw in the blood and the water the sacraments of the Eucharist and baptism, and also the whole church. The church came from your open side as you hung on the cross. And Mary was suffering all of that to give birth to the church, to give birth to each one of us. If she didn't suffer pain in Bethlehem when she gave birth to you, and that is a tradition, she suffered all the more at Calvary, to a point where St. Bernard speaks of Mary as a martyr. He says, "The martyrdom of the Virgin is set forth both in the prophecy of Simeon and in the actual story of our Lord's Passion. The holy old man said of the infant Jesus, 'He has been established as a sign which will be contradicted.' He went on to say to Mary, 'And your own heart will be pierced by a sword.' Truly, O blessed mother," St. Bernard goes on, "a sword has pierced your heart. For only by passing through your heart could the sword enter the flesh of your son. Indeed, after your Jesus, who belongs to everyone, but is especially yours, gave up his life, the cruel spear, which was not withheld from his lifeless body, tore open his side. Clearly, it did not touch his soul and could not harm him, but it did pierce your heart. For surely his soul was no longer there, but yours could not be torn away. Thus the violence of sorrow has cut through your heart, and we rightly call you more than martyr, since the effect of compassion in you has gone beyond the endurance of physical suffering. And Mary, you are truly our mother, because you gave birth to all of us at Calvary with so much pain. You are truly a martyr, and we must love you for that." Pope Pius X, in his encyclical Diem Illum in 1904, commemorating the 50th anniversary of the proclamation of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, writes, "Christ took mortal flesh in the very womb of his most chaste mother, and at the same time he took to himself a spiritual body, made up of those who were to believe in him, in such a way that it can be said that Mary, bearing in her womb the Savior, also bore all those whose life was contained in the life of the Savior. All of us, then, who are united with Christ, have come from the womb of Mary like a body united to its head. For this reason, in a spiritual and mystical sense, we are called children of Mary, and she is the mother of all of us. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us Mary as our mother. A mother who, because she suffered so much for us, to give birth to us, loves us all the more. Any mother knows what a bond she has with all of her children because she brought them into the world. She carried them in her womb for 9 months. She suffered then. She suffered in giving birth. She suffered in nourishing them, in nursing them at the breast, perhaps, in waking every few hours during the night, losing sleep. All of that pain, all of that suffering unites a mother to her children. Mary suffered, and she is truly united to us. She loves us, but Lord, help us to love her. And she fulfilled all those other roles that a mother fulfills so that she is truly our mother. Having given birth to us, she nourishes us. And it is not that the grace that she wins for us comes from her, the grace comes from God, but Mary intercedes for us with that supplicating omnipotence, as Christian tradition has called it. Because she is the mother, daughter, and spouse of God, she shares in some way in God's omnipotence, in his almighty power. And she begs God to help us with all of the graces that we need. And in that way, she nourishes us with that grace. St. Pius X writes in that same encyclical, Ad Diem Illum, "Assuredly, the dispensing of these treasures belongs to nobody but Christ from the point of view of right, for they were purchased by his death alone. And he of natural right is mediator between God and man. Yet because of the union and anguish and sorrow between mother and son, this august virgin has become for the whole world the most powerful mediatrix and advocate with her holy son. The fountain, therefore, is Christ, and of his fullness we have all received. But Mary, as St. Bernard truly observes, is the aqueduct. She intercedes for us. To you, you grant the graces. The graces pass through her as the aqueduct to us. She is the mediatrix of all graces. And in this way, she nourishes us. She is so attentive to our needs as she was at Cana. The wine had run out. Those wedding receptions lasted perhaps for a whole week. Many people attended. And even the 6 water jars holding 20 or 30 gallons had run out. And Mary notices. And Lord, Mary knew that you could do a miracle. You had not done any before. This was your first. But she knew that you were God. And she asked you simply by saying, "They have no wine." And you did that prodigious miracle. And Mary nudges you today. And she looks at each one of us. And she says to you, "He, she has no wine, needs health, needs money, needs love, needs whatever." Mary knows us. And she says to you, "Help this person." And when Mary asks, you grant it, because you never said no to your mother on earth. You won't say no to her now in heaven. St. Alphonsus Liguori says of Mary's powerful intercession, "Why are the prayers of Mary so highly regarded by God? Let us remember that the prayers of the saints are the prayers of his servants, but the prayers of Mary are the prayers of his mother. This is the reason for their efficacy and authority. Since Jesus has an incredible love for his mother, he responds to her every request. To go deeper in our understanding of Mary's importance, we need only turn to the gospel text. The wine failed at the marriage feast of Cana. The bridal party was at risk of great embarrassment. No one asked Mary to become involved, to seek her son's assistance. Here we see the heart of Mary quick to respond with sympathy for the family. She takes the task of intercession upon herself. Acting on her own initiative, she asks Jesus for a miracle. If this was her way of acting, when no one had asked her for help, what will be her response to those who pray for her intercession? And Lord, we give thanks because of the many favors that Mary has succeeded in obtaining for us by interceding before you when we didn't ask. Help us to ask for many favors, knowing that she is supplicating omnipotence. And we say in the Memorare, remember, O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your aid, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Filled, therefore, with confidence in your goodness, I fly to you, Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petition, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen. That beautiful prayer, imploring Mary for all of those graces that we need, knowing that never was it known that anyone who fled to her protection, sought her intercession, was left unaided. Mary is there in heaven, interceding for all of us, for the whole church. And she hears our prayers. And even before we pray, she is asking you for whatever we need. And then, like a good mother, Mary teaches us. She is seat of wisdom, because she brought wisdom, eternal wisdom, you the Son, into the world. She brought the very Word of God into the world to teach us. Lord, you are that Word. You are wisdom. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And you teach us because Mary brought you here to teach us. And Mary teaches us too by her very example. She is model of the virtues. We need only look to Mary, study her life, pray about her, and she teaches us all of those many, many virtues. And then she loves us with her Immaculate Heart, that heart that was one with your Sacred Heart. There was nothing between those two hearts. In us, there is something between us in your heart, our own self-love, our own self-indulgence, our own pride. But there were none of those defects between Mary's heart and yours. She was full of virtue. She was the queen of all saints. And so her heart was one with yours. And with that Immaculate Heart, she loves all of her children. And when we sin, she begs you to forgive us. That role of refuge of sinners, mother of mercy. And down the ages, she has brought so many sinners back to God. This is her great role. She brings those who have wandered off the path, the lost sheep, back to the Good Shepherd. In my own priestly life, I have seen this often. I think of that resident in a university residence where I was chaplain, who had not practiced the faith for many years when he came there. And then one good day, he asked to go back to confession. And after the confession, he asked me, "Father, do you know where I can get a rosary?" I must say I was astounded by the question. He didn't seem like the type that would want a rosary. And he explained, "Yes, because when I was in that boarding school in the country where I grew up, we used to say the rosary and I would like to take it up again. And then it occurred to me that this day, when he came back to confession, was a feast day of Our Lady. And I asked him if he was aware that it was a Marian feast. And he said, no. And I said, I think Our Lady brought you back on one of her feast days because of your love for her in praying the rosary many years ago. This is what Mary does. She finds those lost sheep. She brings them back. She is refuge of sinners, mother of mercy. And when we know people, as we all do, who are not practicing their faith, who have wandered off the path, who perhaps are living lives of great sin, and they're not sorry, often because of ignorance, we pray to Mary, bring back these sinners. You bring back me. All of us are sinners. And you love us. You don't love our sins, but you overlook those sins to love us in spite of our sins. I've sometimes asked mothers, if your son became, let us say, a drug addict and was sleeping with his girlfriend, and then to support his drug habit began selling drugs and stealing, and finally was caught and went to jail, would you still love him? And every mother says, of course. He's my son. I don't love his sins, but I will pray for him. I love him nonetheless. And this is Mary. We are all sinners. And just as, Lord, when you were lost in the temple at the age of 12, and Mary came back with Joseph, and she said to you, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. This is Mary with all of us sinners, saying to us personally, why have you treated me so? We have been looking for you anxiously. But Mary looks for us, and Mary finds us, and Mary brings us back. And perhaps it will be on many people's deathbed, that because they had prayed to her when they were children, or as happens in so many cases, even when they are not going to Mass, when they are living in sin, they still remember to say their Hail Marys. And Mary brings them back, perhaps on their deathbed. Mary, you are truly our mother. Are we truly your children? We cannot simply receive you as a mother and give thanks to Jesus for giving you to us. We must honor you as our mother. As the fourth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. And how do we do that? In the normal ways. By saying the rosary, that quintessential Marian prayer, which is at the same time a Christological prayer, as Pope Paul VI said in his document, Martialis Cultus. Everyone knows the rosary as a Marian prayer. After all, we say 50 Hail Marys, praising Mary. And as we say those words, let us think of what we are saying. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And in the middle of that prayer, always the name Jesus. And the rosary is about the life of Christ. Those 20 mysteries give us different moments in Christ's life, so that it is truly a Christological prayer as well as a Marian prayer. How often do I say the rosary? Could I not say perhaps more rosaries if I'm already saying it? Could I not say the rosary better? Could we not say the rosary in family, which so unites families, brings everybody closer to God? The rosary is a great way to honor Our Lady. And then those other Marian prayers, the Memorare, to try to say one at least every day. the Angelus, or in Easter time, the Regina Caeli at noon, or at 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening as well, according to our own customs. 3 Hail Marys before we go to bed. The Hail Holy Queen. All of those beautiful Marian prayers that we honor Mary, but we honor her not only by our prayers, but by our life. A life that tries to do the will of God, to do what Jesus is asking of us. And after all, at Cana, Mary says to the stewards, do whatever he tells you. And we are those stewards. And Mary is saying that to us, do whatever Jesus tells you. To do the will of God, honors Mary. Perhaps to make a pilgrimage to a shrine of Our Lady, especially in those Marian months of May, of October. Making some sacrifice to go and pray to her, to entrust all of our needs, those of our families, those of so many people that we know need help, to entrust them to Mary, that good mother. And we finish with some words of Saint Bernard. You, whoever you are, who find yourself in the rushing torrent of this world, do not take your eyes off the brightness of this star if you do not want to be overwhelmed by the squalls. If the winds of temptation rise, if you are in the midst of the reefs and shoals of tribulation, fix your gaze on the star, call upon Mary. If you are tossed by the waves of pride, of detraction, of ambition or envy, look at the star. Call upon Mary. If the billows of anger, of avarice or lust batter the tiny ship of your soul, look at Mary. If you are troubled when you think of the enormity of your sins, humiliated when you look at the filthiness of your conscience, frightened when you think of the judgment, and you are about to sink in the depths of despondency or in the abyss of despair, think of Mary. Call upon Mary. Let her name be always on your lips, and the thought of her always in your heart. And in order to obtain the benefits of her intercession, do not turn away from the example of her virtue. If you follow her, you will not go astray. If you call upon her, you will not despair. If you think of her, you will not be lost. If she takes you by the hand, you will not fall. If she protects you, you will have nothing to fear. If she guides you, you will not give up. If she shelters you, you will reach safe harbor. Then you will experience in your own life the truth of those words, and the name of the Virgin was Mary. Mary, that powerful intercessor, Mary, our mother. And Lord, help us to love her. She loves us with words beyond all telling. Help us to love her. And finally, some words of Saint Jose Maria in his book, The Forge. Your love for Our Lady should be more lively, more supernatural. Don't just go to the Virgin Mary to ask her for things. You should also go to give. Give her your affection. Give her your love for her divine Son. And show her your affection with deeds of service to others who are also her children. Mary, we thank you for being our mother, for all of those benefits that you have obtained for us without our knowing it, and those others that you have obtained for us because we asked you. Look after us. Look after everyone. Be truly our mother. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.